Governor Rick Scott has been shaking up his leadership team in Tallahassee. His chief of staff, Mike Prendergast, now is going to be heading the Florida Department of Veterans Affairs. Mary Ann Carter, another top Scott advisor, has announced her resignation. Is this a usual time to see a shakeup about 6 months into a governor's term, or is something going on we don't know about?
About the time you drop below 30% in popularity is about a good time to look at your staff.
Yeah. Even either, 32%.
Yeah, either, right, even if it's 32%, margin of error. But obviously, he has not done very well. All the governor doesn't have any support. In fact, what we'll be interested to see if which candidate for U.S. Senate asks the governor to endorse him, if none do, because he doesn't have the popularity right now, and he's got to change. He brought in some no experience, and not to be critical of his agenda, but I would be on many points. But just to have somebody there, you need to have somebody there as chief of staff, has institutional knowledge, knows the players, can get around Tallahassee. Made a big mistake. He doesn't understand public policy, and he's really offended a lot of the leaders in the Republican-led House and Senate. So he had to change staff, and he really needs to sit down with the House and Senate leadership and basically say, we've got a session coming up. It starts in January. We have reapportionment in the budget, legislation. What can we do? What can we agree on now?
Together.
And to be able to drop the handkerchief in the session saying kumbaya.
Are you saying it's him that's offending folks, or the staff, or both?
No, I think it's him because his staff doesn't know how to deal with people. He had staff that had no institutional knowledge, did not know the players, did not know the issues, and they're running down to the House and Senate basically trying to leverage the governor's office, or using the leverage of the governor's office to get the House and Senate to do things they didn't understand. So I think if he brings people on staff, he's got a little bit of time on his, under his belt. If he starts listening to the House and Senate leadership and agree on what they can pass, I think he'll... His numbers will improve, but
all lost, though, Dick. I mean, he got off to a rocky start, and I think he's learned one thing. You can't run the government like a business. Now, you can use business principles in that, but it's not a business. I mean, it isn't a business. You got to deal, as Dick said, with the House, the Senate. You got the Supreme Court. And you've got to actually go talk to people about what you're doing so they don't read it in the paper. I mean, there's nothing worse for a member of the House or Senate to have a major project going and read about the fact the governor's candidate in the paper. Nobody's even told
or
you.
High-speed rail is what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm talking about
Or vetoing the appropriations the Senate President and Speaker of the House have put in the budget. They vetoed all the PICO funding, public education capital outlay, impacted UCF by $32 million. Those are projects that were, I think, legitimate, were in the budget legitimately. The Speaker of the House, Dean Cannon, from here, put them in the budget along with a delegation. The governor vetoes those. Well, you can't veto $32 million and not have some
repercussion.
You got to tell them you're doing it. You got to sit down with them and explain with them. Because one thing in politics, the person that's against you today, you always have a chance to get them with you tomorrow.
Absolutely.
And don't burn your bridges. And boy...
Unless you can walk on water.
Yeah. And he's burned a lot of bridges, but I think he can actually come back.
Well, Lou Fry, you mentioned he could come back. He has burned bridges. Just recently, Governor Scott attended a policy retreat last month. He tried to keep it on the down low with powerful conservative donors Charles and David Koch. The billionaire Koch brothers, of course, very influential on the national scene and helped kind of spur the Tea Party movement. What do you make of Rick Scott's attendance there? Does that mean that some people are hopeful Rick Scott's going to be a player on a bigger stage?
Yeah, Rick Scott's staff certainly thinks, and I think Scott underneath thinks that anybody that's the governor of a major state like this, New York, Texas, Florida, and that is looking nationally. It just makes sense. I mean, you got a great stepping stone. You got a bunch of electoral votes to start, and you're in a key state. So obviously you're looking down the line. You're not going to be content with being just the governor. And I don't that's a disease. It doesn't affect just Democrats or Republicans. It affects both of them. And so a lot of the stuff you've looked at, and I think one of the reasons that you're seeing a change in this kind of thing is I think that Scott not only was not popular in Florida, but he was getting to be a joke in a lot of places around the country. And that certainly isn't the image you want. Hey, look, who's going to be vice president? You get a Romney from Massachusetts. You need somebody who's conservative from the East Coast who gets along with the Tea Party. I mean, he's got some credentials nationally in terms of being a viable candidate for vice president.